Blog Talk Radio.
All right, this is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry. Glory to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that is, the one that was, and the one that is to come, the Almighty, the Everlasting Father. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you, power of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection on that great resurrection morning. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no hope to the world. Because when Christ came from the dead, amen, first man in human history, and the only reason he could do it because he was God-man. No other name, no other entity, no other deity could do what he did. He paid for the sins of the world, everybody. He paid for the sins of every human being up on this planet. When he died, he didn't just die for the Jew. He didn't just die for the blacks or the whites. He died for the whole world. You read John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The only way that a man can get to heaven, the only way a man can walk the streets of gold, the only way a man can ever come in the presence of God, is saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and be a sinless being, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we know in the Old Testament time, men used turtle doves and goats, and he used red heifers, and he used lambs, all kinds of clean animals for sacrifice for the atonement of man's sin. But that was not adequate enough. Somebody had to die, somebody that could become human, somebody that was divine, and the only name that's given among men, the only name that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you, letting you know one thing. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Yes, he is. I guarantee you with all that I got, I guarantee you with every nerve and every fiber and every muscle and every bone and every intent of my heart, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And he's coming back what? Ooh, he's going to eliminate Satan. He's going to eliminate sin. He's going to eliminate killing and murdering. He's going to eliminate every wicked deed that Satan is putting out. He's going to get rid of it. And the reason why, because one thing God cannot stand, he cannot tolerate it throughout eternity, and that is sin. And sin, we know who's the sin come from. It comes from the devil. Satan, Lucifer, is the one that caused sin to come into the world, brought it through Adam and Eve. He deceived Eve and Adam just deliberately. He knew what was going to happen when he ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. When Adam ate the fruit, sin entered into the world. Did you hear what I said? I said, sin entered into man's kind. Man become a captivity of sin. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, man has been fallen. He's been fallen until he come to this point in time in history, 2021, and the world is so wicked, so wicked, so wicked, that time is closing in. Jesus Christ is on his way back. He's coming his way back because he said, in that day, this generation shall not pass away until all biblical prophecy would be fulfilled. And we are living in the last generation on this planet. And the only hope that we have to escape the wrath of God Almighty is through his son, Jesus Christ. It's not through just by going to church. And don't get me wrong. You need to go to church. Fail not to assemble yourself together in a matter of song. But we know, we absolutely know that that day is approaching, and it's approaching real fast. And the only way that you can escape, you got to come to the cross. Oh, my God, you got to come to the cross. The cross is the only thing we have. The only thing that can, what, cleanse you, sanctify you, justify you, edify you, cleanse you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sinless blood, spotless blood, powerful blood, can to destroy sin. Thank you, God Almighty. Thank you, God Almighty, for your son, Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're coming from, because the whole human race failed in the Garden of Eden. Ever since then, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that was ever born was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Then my mother conceived me. And there's nobody was born righteous. Nobody was born that they had the capability of saving themselves. Nobody was born that they were able to go to the cross and die for the whole human. Nobody. You hear what I said? I said nobody. Nobody can do what God did. And God knew before the foundations of the world exactly which route man was going to take. But he had to give him a free will, free will, free will. You choose you this day in whom you will serve. Whom do you want to praise? Whom do you want to lift up? Whom do you want to sanctify your soul? Because I'm going to tell you something. Satan cannot do it. Satan come to do three things: kill, rob, and destroy. That's the only thing he can do, brothers and sisters. He can't do nothing else but kill, rob, and destroy. He can cause you to be lost forever, eternity, and be cast into a lake of fire. If the individual does not repent and turn from his wicked ways, every man that wants to go to heaven has to repent. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. In other words, if you don't repent, you shall likewise go to hell and pay, listen, and pay, listen, and pay for your own sins. And that's impossible. No man on this planet can die for nobody. He can't die for himself. He can't do nothing to save himself. The only way that a soul can be saved, S-O-U-L, your soul is the only thing you got that will last forever. And you're going to have to make a choice to choose you where you want to spend eternity. If you want to go to hell, then Satan will tell you it's not necessary for you to go to the cross. Don't go to the cross. Don't go to the cross. Don't accept the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't accept his resurrection. Don't accept his suffering. Don't accept nothing what he has done. And he done it. I know he done it. He done it because, number one, the Bible says he was going to do it long before he came on his first trip. And his first trip was when he came from 4004 B.C. all the way across the annals of time until about 4 B.C. Amen. God sent an angel to Mary and told her, Mary, don't you fear, don't you cry, don't you worry. The son that you're carrying is not born by flesh, not born by blood, but born by God Almighty. God became man. Listen to me now. God Almighty, the creator of the heaven and earth, the one that had no beginning and the one that will have no end. He's eternal. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-wisdom. He knows everything. Nothing. He can't forget. He won't forget. Amen. And he's coming back through his son, Jesus Christ, to save the world from the audacity and the the propagating and the killing and the murdering and the raping and all this stuff that's going on in our planet today. Men are failing, hearts are failing men for the fear that's coming up on the planet. Men are not going to get better. Men are going to get waxed worse and worse as we go on to the end of this generation. And this generation ends in 2029. That's the last part of the last generation. This generation started, the last generation started on this planet, 1948, May the 14th. That generation began at that time, that month, and that year. How come you say that's the beginning of the last generation? Well, if you know your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible, pray over the scripture, ask God to reveal to you. He said, when you shall see the fig leaf budding, when you shall see the figs on the tree budding, you know that the time is nigh. And in the biblical principle, the fig tree represents Israel. Listen to me now. Listen real good. The beginning of the last generation was the beginning of 1948, May the 14th. May the 14th. Israel, for the first time over the period of 2,600 years, Israel became a nation and was brought back into the land. Why? Because that was the beginning of the last generation. And ever since 1948 until 2021, May the 14th, 2021, May the 14th, 2021, is going to celebrate, the Jewish nation is going to celebrate the 73rd anniversary of Israel becoming a nation since 1948. And the Jews are coming back into the land. They're in the land. They're looking for the Messiah to come. But at the same time, God said the nations of the world will come against the Jewish people. The nations of the world will come against the Jewish people. And if you read your news today, you look in your newspaper, you look on your internet, you look on your Facebook, you look on any broadcasting internet that you see, and you will see that Israel is suffering from rockets, from rockets that's been shooting from the Gaza Strip and from the Ayatollah and from the Palestinians and the Hezbollah. All these nations are forming to try to get rid of Israel. And the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, brothers and sisters, please listen to me. The B-I-B-L-E said in the last day, Israel will become a cup of a trembling. A cup of trembling, and the nations of the world will try to exterminate the Jewish people in the last days, because Satan knows that the Jews is God's chosen people to bring the gospel to the world in the end time, because at the end time, the Jews will preach the last 7 years on this planet. They will preach the gospel of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before I go any further, before I say anything else, I'm going to bow my head in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We ask you right now in Jesus' name, use my lips of clay. Let me hide behind the cross of Christ, the crucified one, the suffering one, the one that went down into the grave and came up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And he's coming back again to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. We ask you right now, use my lips of clay that I may speak to somebody's heart in these last and evil days. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is all the Jesus God watchman on the wall, End Time Radio Ministry Internet. Amen. Preaching the word of God, more powerful than a speeding bullet. Man, this gospel is awesome. Jesus Christ, God's son, is on his way back to this earth. We will be covering some things which I already covered since I've been on here. And I've been on the internet for the last 2006. I was on radio. I switched from radio to internet. I've been on the internet since 2012. Amen. 2012, and I'm still on it, and I'm making my last call. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Don't worry about the coronavirus. There's other things. Amen. More clutches than the coronavirus. And that is, if you die, listen to me. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. If you die without Christ, if you die without being born again, if you die without being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you die lost, if you die just live the life and never in your lifetime accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God, and you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. You will not deny Jesus Christ. You will stand up for the name of Jesus Christ and proclaim his love and his mercy and his goodness. And let me tell you, if you've never been in contact with the power of God through his son Jesus Christ, and you leave this planet without receiving the new birth, you will die and you will go to hell. Not me talking. I ain't got no heaven. I ain't got no hell. I ain't got nothing, amen, to place you in. No, I'm not nobody's judge. God is the only judge. But you better make sure before you leave this planet, whether you young or whether you old, whether you middle aged, or whether you dependent upon works that you do, your works ain't going to save you. Amen. Your good looks ain't going to save you. You going to church ain't going to save you. Oh, my God. Your mama, your daddy, your sister can't save you. Your denomination can't save you. No occult religion can save you. No Protestant religion can save you. The Baptist can't save you. The Presbyterian can't save you. Nobody can save you but Jesus, the Son of God. God himself is the Savior. God himself is the Redeemer. God himself is the slain lamb before the foundation of the world. God himself is a self-existent one. Don't need nobody else. He's God the Father. He's God the Son. He's God the Holy Ghost. They're all co-equal one. When you receive Christ in your life, you receive the whole Godhead. Hey, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're not three different persons. They're the same person on the co-equal basis. When Jesus was born, he was born as a child, as a baby. But a son was given, meaning the Son of God is God himself. Can you place that? Can you fathom that? And by you fathom that, you were saying that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. What did he have to do when he came down here on this planet 2,000 years ago? He had to die. He had to suffer. He had to be beaten. He had to be rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And by his stripes we were healed. Jesus Christ had to suffer. God himself had to suffer in the flesh for our sin and die as a man. Die as a human being. Die because he knew no sin, but he became a sin offering. What? For your dirty, low-down, rotten, conniving sins that you have done through your lifetime. Lord, hammers all the murder and all the hatred that people got, all the whoremongering, all the adulterers, and all the liars, and all the blasphemers. Christ died, suffered. Woo! You talk about suffering. You talk about suffering. He suffered not just for one sin. He died for every sin, individually, for every person, and for the whole round world. He died. He was crucified. He was disfigured. He was embarrassed. They had him hanging almost in a nude. They whipped him so bad that his identification could not be recognized, hanging on that cross. Oh, my God. Woo. Just to think of it, give me chills down my back. Just to think of it, let me shout to the glory of God that he gave his son, his only son. He ain't got no more son. He's the only begotten son. He cannot come down here and die no more for sin. He cannot suffer no more for sin. He already did. And he took him 4,000 years to get down here. When he got down here, he was rejected of man. Man didn't want him. Man said, crucify him. Satan was saying, I can't take this out of all the people he done killed. He said, I got to kill Jesus. I got to get him killed. Because if I kill him, guess what? I will control the whole universe. Satan said, if I can kill him and massacre him, put him in the grave, guess what? I can rule the world. I can take control of the cosmos. I can take control of eternity. I can take control of the stars and the moon. And Satan said, I got to kill him. And guess what? By Satan working through the human race, the human race was so blind by sin and degradation, they slayed Jesus. They mutilated him. They said, well, if we can kill him and hang him on the cross and let him die and put him in the grave, Satan and all the demons and devils and imps and, if I may say so, pimps, say, we will control the universe. We can take over everything. We can bring the world under the power of Lucifer, Satan, the red dragon, the beast. We can control the human race. And the devil, working through the human race, they killed him, and he laid in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And Satan thought he had the victory over my soul. He thought by him killing him, he could take control of your soul and damn your soul into hell and keep you away from the redemption plan through the blood of Jesus Christ. But when Christ died, he laid in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And Satan said, if I can hold him from here to eternity and he never gets up, I got the victory. And all the demons in hell were trying to shout about it. They were shouting maybe for 3 days because on the third day, get me now, on the third day, after his blood was shed on Calvary's cross, the fountain was open. And when the fountain was open, there flowed from Emmanuel's veins the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if the sinner, you hear what I say, if the sinner fall beneath the flow, that sinner man, whoremonger, that whore, that prostitute, can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ by faith in him. Put your faith in him. And you confess him and you believe him. On the third day that he got up, he said, all power in heaven and in earth is in his hand. And when Christ got up, the devil was defeated for eternity. The devil was defeated through eternity. He cannot win. He's in a losing role. He cannot overthrow the power of Christ. He cannot rule Christ. He cannot tell Christ what to do, because Jesus said, I got all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. And he said, now I'm able to save souls. I'm able to live inside of men and women. I'm able to change their lives. But before the resurrection, or before his crucifixion, or before his death, God Almighty didn't have the power to save men's souls and walk inside of them forever. He didn't have the power to do that. But after the death and the resurrection, he said, now I got all power. I got all power in heaven and earth in my hand. So God got the power over everything. And he did it by the cross. He did it by the cross. Nobody but the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. There's all kind of crosses. There's the double cross. There's the blue cross. There's the red cross. But there's only one that has power enough and did the job to save your soul from sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friends, we are in the last days, and we get ready to get into this lesson that I'm going to teach tonight. And it has to deal with the Middle East that's going on right now, the things that's going on right now in the Middle East. Amen. Is being fulfilled in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, the 83rd division of Psalms. It tells you exactly what's going on in the Middle East right now. Right now. You're standing on it. You're looking at it. It's all over the news. It's all over TV. It's all over the internet. What's going on in Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is going to be the focal point of Christ's return. And now, Hezbollah, the Hamas, and all these Palestinians are shooting missiles at Israel, trying to get rid of them, but they can't do it. Anytime somebody mess with the Jewish people without God's permission, oh, they in trouble. They in trouble. Every nation that's on the face of the earth today is in trouble if they fool around and mess with the Jewish people. You cannot mess with the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people came through Abraham, and Abraham was a friend of God, and Abraham was God's man of the hour. Because one thing that God loved about Abraham is Abraham had faith in God. And this nation and these people was instructed through Abraham to live by faith. And anybody that not living by faith and through faith and for faith, amen, God cannot do nothing for you. You've got to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. In other words, if you want victory in your life, if you want love in your life, if you want joy in your life, you're going to have to put everything up on the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and put the cross before you and the world behind you, because the only way you're going to get to heaven is through the cross of Jesus Christ, because what he done, he paid for your sins. Your lying, your backbiting, your racial injustices, and your race hatred, prejudice, and all this here bigots and people going around hating. Well, let me tell you, the only way you're going to get to heaven, you got to come through the cross and let the cross take all that hate out of you, all that resentment out of you, and change your life and make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. Behold, everything is new. Old things are passed away. Now you're a new creature. When you become a new creature, one thing you know that you have, you know you've been changed. You know you've been changed from death to life because you love the brother. If a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. How can you love God when you ain't never seen him and hear your brother's right here looking in your face and you hate him? You're a liar. And there's no eternal life in a murderer, in a liar, in a hater. Why? Because the Bible tells me one thing about it. One thing you're going to have before you get to heaven. You're going to have the love of God in your life. And the only way you can receive God in your life is through his son, Jesus Christ. Christ said, if you know me, you should have known my Father. He said, I am a Father one. He said, now if you say you know me and you deny my Father, the truth is not in you. Because let me tell you, I and my Father are one. One. When you introduce yourself to Jesus Christ by faith, you know God right off. Because Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And when you meet him by the blood through the Holy Spirit, and you become a son of God. You become a child of God. You become a redeemed one. You become a sheep. Amen. Knows his shepherd. And the Bible tells me that old David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know who your shepherd is. And now we're living in that last day. And one of the greatest miracles of all time is what? The fig tree is on its way back. It's been blooming ever since 1948. Let's see what Asaph says. Asaph says in the 83rd division of Psalms, he is talking about the nations that will come against Israel. He's talking about the nations that hate Israel. He's talking about what's going to happen to each and every one that fights against the Jewish people. This war that's coming up in Jerusalem is headed for World War III. World War III is right around the corner. Right around the corner. But now the nations of the world believe that they can destroy the Jewish nation. And you are a liar and the truth is not in you, Satan, because the devil can't stand the Jewish people. Woo! Woo! Jesus Christ is the devil's worst enemy. And Christ's worst enemy is the devil. They hate each other. They resent each other with a passion. And God is going to destroy Lucifer and all his demons and cast him into the lake of fire. And those that follow Satan, those that deny Jesus Christ, those that refuse the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death and his burial and his resurrection, all those that reject it will die and go to hell and burn and burn and burn for their own sins. Because sin is dirty. Sin is low down. Sin stinks. Sin makes you evil. Sin is mean. Sin is cruel. Sin kills. Sin murders. Sin is no good. It's no good for your soul because it can damn your soul forever. You don't blame it on God if you go to hell. Don't blame it on God. Don't you blame that on God, because God said, I gave you my best from out of eternity. I gave you I can't give you nothing else, no better than myself. And let myself be sacrificed and crucified and hung on the cross for you. I did that for you for eternity, that you come to me. If you believe in me, you trust in me, you rely on me, you hope in me, you love me. You love me more than anything in the whole round world. You love me more than you love yourself. Amen. God said, I love you so much that I'm willing to do something about it. And what he did about it, no other man did it. Farrakhan can't do it. The Pope can't do it. No man on this planet can do it. Gandhi can't do it. No denomination or cult can't do it. No Jehovah's Witness can't do it. No Protestant can't do it. No nothing, 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 nothing. No man, no woman, no child can do what Jesus Christ done. And that is by faith. Accept him. Accept him. Listen what Psalm says in the 83rd division of Psalms, or the 83rd chapter. It says, this is Asaph writing about the destruction of the Jewish nation and what God is going to do. This is what he says in the first verse. First verse says, keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace. And be not still, O God. Asaph is saying, hey, Lord, Don't be silent. Don't be quiet. Don't sit on the throne and don't say nothing. And don't hold your peace. And be not still. Oh, God, move. I want you to move, God. Oh, God, move right now. Move. Move. Move for my people. Move for my nations. I'm crying out to you, oh, God. Just don't sit on your throne and let Israel be destroyed. These are your people. These people brought the most wonderful gift ever known to the human race. These people wrote the book of books, books of books, and that is the Bible. These people were the nations that came up out of the land of Egypt. Amen. And no nation could withstand them. No nation could defeat them. Oh, God, don't keep silent. Talk to me, Lord. Talk to me right now, because Israel is in a serious trouble right now. They're peaceful people. They're not looking for trouble. But if you mess with them, they got to retaliate. They got to come back with you. Jews are the most peaceful people on the planet. But if you mess with them, you're going to get what you deserve. And the nations of the world has always been messing with the Jewish people. If you want to go back a little bit, Egypt, try to keep them in Egypt. Pharaoh talking about, who is the Lord that I shall harbor into him, Moses? Who is this God you talking about? Where he come from? What are you going to do? He can't withstand my gods. This is Pharaoh talking. I got the God of Dagon, and I pray to Dagon every day. Dagon is going to, amen, he is going to deliver me from this God that you call Yahweh, Elohim. And Moses found out at the end of them crossing the Red Sea, he was finally defeated. And he said, oh, I ain't never seen a God like this. I mean, a God that can cause a moon to go out, a God that can cause the sun not to shine, a God that can name the stars, a God that can open up the Red Sea, a God that can bring 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And caused the Egyptians to bow down to him, a God that told Moses to turn the staff into a serpent and ate up Michael, a God of gods and a Lord of lords. And they tell me when he got across the Red Sea, Pharaoh said, I'm going to cross over just like the Israelites did. I'm going to get on the other side, and I'm going to capture them and bring them back to Egypt and make them serve me. I'm going to make them rigor. I'm going to make them make me more bricks. I'm going to make them, amen, serve me. And when he got down at the bottom of the Red Sea, in the middle of the Red Sea, they tell me, God, exhale. He inhaled, and he brought the water over the Egyptian and drowned 600 chariots. That will be about 1,200 men, two men to a chariot. And when Moses saw this, he fell down on his head and his knees, and he said, oh, this Yahweh is a God that used and rules the universe. And this same God, now listen to me, this same God is in 2021. Amen. He's sitting on the throne right now. Good God Almighty. And his ASAP crying out, saying, oh, don't hold your peace, Lord. Don't hold your peace. When it comes to my people, I want you to do something. I don't want you to sit up there, amen, and think, amen, and I'm thinking, you don't know what you're doing. I want you to move. So ASAP is crying out to God and telling not to keep silent. Don't hold your peace and be not still. In other words, do something. Make some noise. Make some thunder. Make some lightning and flash it over the universe. And don't hold your peace. Amen. I know you're full of mercy and goodness, but don't hold your peace on this circumstance. And be not still. Don't move. Move around on the surface of heaven and move so I can see the action that's getting ready to go. The second verse said, for lo, listen now, this is scripture. For lo, thine enemies make a torment. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. All right. Who's the enemies? The enemies are the Gentile nations. The Gentile nations through Lucifer. The Gentile nation is God's enemies. The nations of the world that fight against the Jewish people is God's enemy. And he said, make atonement that they hate thee and have lifted up their heads. The nations of the world, 70 nations, and all majority of them don't want the Jews to be in that land. They don't want the Jews to be in Jerusalem. They don't want Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. They don't want the place in where Christ was born to exist. They want to eliminate. They want to eliminate the Jewish people. They want to eliminate the landmarks where Jesus was baptized, where he died on Calvary's cross, where he suffered with and put in the grave. They want to eliminate the whole city of Jerusalem. But here it says, lo, thine enemies make a torment, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against our people. What? The Palestinians have taken counsel against God's people. The nations of the world have taken counsel against the Jewish people. They're trying to mutilate them. We got a whole lot of Hitlers out there. We got a whole lot of Mussolinians. We got a whole lot of dictators out there that says, we don't want the Jews on the planet. We want to get rid of them. The nations of the world say, we can't stand the Jew. The Jews have special privileges. No, they don't. They don't have no more special privilege than the Gentiles do. Because when the Jews sin against God, they pay the price. When the Gentiles sin against God, they pay the price. But these are God's chosen people. He chose them through the obedience and discipline of Abraham. Abraham was a mighty man because he carried faith every way when he believed God and didn't see where he was going. And he trusted in God, and he feared God, and he loved God, and God loves that. And God said, out of thee I'm going to bring a seed. I'm going to bring a nation that will obey me. And down through the time, Israel have been disobedient to the God of Abraham. But God said, I'm going to save a remnant of the Jewish people at the end time. And the end time is right now. And the devil said, I got to get rid of the Jews before Jesus Christ comes. But he can't get rid of the Jews because they're indestructible. Because if the Bible tells me, Jesus told me, and he told the world, up on the rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, the church is indestructible. You can't destroy the church of God. You cannot destroy the blood of Christ. You cannot destroy the cross. You cannot destroy the resurrection. You cannot destroy the death of Jesus Christ. You cannot destroy the suffering of Jesus Christ. The reason why, because it's God Almighty, and he's indestructible. And anybody that believe on him, trust in him, rely on him, been born again, is indestructible. In other words, the devil cannot defeat you because you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been justified by the blood of the Lamb. You've been crucified with Christ by the blood of the Lamb. You got the victory through the blood of the Lamb. You got joy through the blood of the Lamb. You, God Almighty, you got power to shake your head at the devil and say, you ain't got nothing on me. You ain't got no power. The only power you got, Satan, is the power to kill, rob, and destroy. But I got power to live forever with Jesus Christ. I got power to love my enemies and love them that despitefully use me and curse me. I got power to pray. I got power to have victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And I got power to call on the name of the Lord any time of the day, and he will answer my prayer. I got power. I got this power. I got it from the cross. Nothing but the cross. Here come these false religions coming on the scene, talking about this is the way to heaven. Look at this. Look at this. I ain't through with 83rd Psalm, but I just want to tell you, amen. People believe that the Jews is nothing to the Jew, but the Jews is precious. Amen. And through the Jews, the Messiah was born. Through the Jewish people, the Holy Scriptures were put into action. And God in the Old Testament, amen, he was awesome in the Old Testament. He fought for the Jews. He chastised the Jew. He whipped the Jew. He corrected the Jew. He loved the Jew. The Jewish nation was almost exterminated. But yet still God said, I love you unconditionally. I'm going to love you without repentance. I'm going to love you because at the end time, just before I come again, I'm going to bring you back into the land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you that land to you. I'm going to give it to your father's seed and your daughter's seed. I'm going to give it to you because that's where I'm going to rule and reign. I'm going to rule and reign in Jerusalem. Don't you know Jerusalem is going to be the reigning place of the 1,000-year millennium? Jesus Christ is going to sit in Jerusalem on the throne in Jerusalem. Oh, yes, he is. And he's going to get the land and give it back to the Jews from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the river Euphrates. It's going to be a land like never before. And now the nations of the world is trying to eliminate the Jewish people. Listen what it says here. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Just read this with me and see where it fits at. And they have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. That the name of Israel, now listen what it said. The name of Israel, the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. In other words, blot them out. Kill them. Shoot rockets. Shoot all kinds of stuff. But blow them up. The nations of the world is plotting to try to eliminate the Jews. And the only nation now that's standing behind the Jews is the United States of America. Is the only nation that still support the Jewish people. All other nations is going to plot to try to eliminate the Jewish people, and the Antichrist will be the lead ringer to try to eliminate the Jewish people. But now the Palestinians are working on a plan to remove them from the planet, and they're a lying wonder. Woo! Because when you touch the Jew, you touch the God's apple of his eye. Listen to what it says. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel shall be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate. The nations have become confederate against thee. Listen to what it says. The tabernacles of Yield and the Ishmaelites and the Moabs and the Hagarines, and the Gabaels, and the Ammons, and the Amalek, the Philistines, with inhabitants of Tyre, the Syrians also is joined with them. They have holden the children of Lot. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, and Syria as unto Jabin at the brook of Kishon. This is Asaph telling us, Lord, I want you to do them just like you did Syria and Jabin at the book of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like the herb and the Zebi. Yea, all the princes and Zeba and Zulamah, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Oh, my God, make them like a wheel and as a stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame settles the mountain on fire. So persecute them, O God, with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O God. In other words, Asaph said, now, God, you do your thing. Do your thing, Almighty. You self-existent one, the everlasting Father, do your thing and make them know that they must bow down to you and not to false gods. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded in trouble forever. Yeah. Let them be put to shame and perish. Look up here. Last verse. That men may know that thou, whose name alone, all alone, is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. In other words, Asaph says, Lord, get off your throne. Lord, don't keep silent. Lord, don't hold your peace. Come on down here and work a miracle for Israel, because they are going to be delivered. But before they be delivered, they must go through a time of trouble, because this is going to ignite World War III. The nations of the world is getting ready to come against Jerusalem. If anybody stands against Jerusalem and hate Jerusalem, they shall be cut to pieces. The nations of the world shall be laid level. Men shall stand up on their feet, and their flesh shall melt from their bones when they fight against the Jewish people. You can't touch them. Anybody can touch them. But when they touch them, guess what? I got five nations. I got six nations that try to mess with the Jews. Just see what happened to them. You got Egypt. Egypt tried to overturn Israel, and look where they at. Look at the Syrian Empire. The Syrian Empire was ripped apart. They messed with God's people. Look at the Babylonians. They are gone. Look at the Media Persian Empire. That's Iran and Iraq. They're still messing. They're still messing with Israel. They're still shooting rockets. They're still shooting in the populated area, killing little boys and girls. And then Israel had to retaliate and shoot back. They said they wrong, but they didn't start it. Israel did not start this war. The Palestinians started this war. Islam started this war. They hate the Jews. They're trying to get rid of the Jews. And in the book, and in the Bible, the 83rd division of Psalms shows you exactly what's going to happen. And it's going to lead the world into World War III. World War III is coming. It's on its way. Look out. Pray. Watch and pray. In the last days, in the book of Ezekiel 37 and the 38th chapter, they said there's another nation, there's another nation, there's another nation coming down from the north. And the only nation north of Jerusalem is Moscow. Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. There's a war coming. This will lead into the return of Jesus Christ. It will lead into the rapture of the church. Whether it comes at the time of Gog and Magog or after the time, is getting ready for the rapture of the church, because the church will not. I don't know where you get your teachers from. I don't know where you get your scriptures from. But God always delivers his people before judgment. I'll say that again. God always delivers his people before judgment. I'll say it one more time. God always delivers his people from his wrath. If you don't believe it, talk to Enoch. Enoch walked with God. How? The same. He believed God, and God took him, and he was not. And after Enoch was caught up into heaven and walked on into the glories of the gate of heaven, the flood came. The flood came. You hear me? It wasn't too long after the flood came, and God called Noah. When he called Noah, he told him to build an ark. because I'm going to let it rain. And by rain coming, God said, if you build an ark and hear my voice and work and do it by faith, I will deliver you and your family from my wrath of water. Because Noah, I'm going to cause it to rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And he preached. Come on, Noah. Leave the world behind. Repent of your sins. Turn from your wicked ways. Obey the voice of the Lord God, because Noah said it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And he took them 120 years. He preached 120 years that it was going to rain, and the world laughed at him. They mocked him. They cursed him. They did everything they could to discourage Noah, but Noah had a calling on his life, and he didn't preach prosperity. He didn't preach a whole bunch of miracles, and he said, now repent and come on now. Don't wait too late. Don't wait till the last minute. Come on, Noah. I done built an ark. And the only thing you got to do is come on. You don't have to work on the ark for you to come on by faith. And Noah preached. And Noah preached. And I've been preaching. Maybe half of the 120 years. I've been preaching for 57 years. You know what I've been preaching? Save Jesus and him crucified. Died and rose again, coming back again. I've been preaching the tribulation. I've been preaching 144,000. I've been preaching the mark of the beast. I've been preaching, Lord have mercy. I've been preaching the invasion of Russia and Israel. I've been preaching about the two witnesses. I've been preaching about the return of Christ. I've been preaching about the millennium reign. I've been preaching about hell and where is it and how long you going to stay there. When you get there, that will be forever. I've been preaching that. And most of all, the love of God. First thing, preach the love of God. And you know what the love of God is. Look at the cross. And you tell me that ain't love. Look how bad and simple and backwards you was before you accepted Jesus Christ. Look how some of us are doing now. We think we can get to heaven by our works. We can't get to heaven by our works. Even work your finger to the bone. Still die and go to hell. I don't care how white you are. You can be white as snow on the outside and dark and dirty on the inside. Look at the world and the shape that it's in. People are having a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. They don't have the love of God in their heart. Look how people are trying to get back to church. You know something? I doubt if we get back where we were. And if we get back where we were, what are we going to preach? Are we going to preach prosperity? Are we going to preach how much we got? Are you going to preach programs and situations and anniversaries? Are you going to preach that? Or are you going to preach saying Jesus and him crucified? Come to him. Repent of your sin. Otherwise, likewise, you're going to perish. I've been preaching. It seems like, Lord, sometimes I get a little stressed out. So I said, Lord, am I preaching what you want? Preach the Bible. And Noah preached 120 years of what? The gospel. Good news that God is going to eliminate the sin of man. But before he even think about eliminating the sin of man, he wants to save the sinner from sin. And man don't want to receive it, then he wants to pay for his own sin. And guess what? Noah preached up to 120 years, got the ark finished, and when he got it finished, he got all the animals in there, and when he got all the animals in there, his family went in, and God shut the door, and Noah was in the ark. Just like a person can be in Christ now. You can't be outside with the salvation of Jesus Christ and go to heaven. And those that stayed on the outside of the ark and did not get on the ark, they didn't have no safety bars hanging on the ark. They didn't have no handlebars hanging on the ark for people to float and hang on to the bar. There ain't none of that on there. He said, now, either you're going to come in or either you're going to stay out. And my God, listen to this. Majority of the world in that day, majority, billions, I don't know, 1 billion, 2 billion people. And people had heard about the ark being built because it spread like wildfire. There's a fool up on the hill up there building a boat saying it's going to rain. Now rain, which rain? I ain't ever seen rain. Because the world at that time was under a canopy. It was closed in under a canopy. And man didn't have to worry about rain because there was water underneath the earth and water hovering earth. And so man was living good. He didn't eat meat until after the flood. But Noah preached day and night, 7 days a week. People would come by, hey, Noah, where's the rain? And Noah said, it's coming, 120 years. It's coming. Oh, yeah, it's coming. 50 years. Oh, man, this baby been talking about stuff for 50 years. And preachers that don't preach the return of Jesus Christ, and preachers who don't preach the sanctification and the holiness of the cross of Christ, and that the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ is our only hope that we can go to heaven by being born again by his Spirit, if he's not preaching holiness and righteousness and love and consistency and faith and joy, if he's not preaching it and living it, good God Almighty, what you going to do when you stand before God Almighty in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the saints? And some preachers today are just about ready to give it up. And you know why they're giving it up? You know why churches are not opening up? Because if they go back into the house of God, if they go back up in the house of God and don't preach the whole Bible, you hear what I said, from Genesis to Revelation, if they don't preach it and expound it and teach it and proclaim it and live it, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. And God said, I'm going to shut down the building. Not the church now. I'm going to shut down the buildings. And I'm going to see what people are going to do. And you figure they would repent and turn from their wicked ways, including me if I've got a wicked way, creating me a clean heart, O God, that I may not sin against you. You got any wicked ways, is any wicked way in my spirit, in my soul, remove it in the name of Jesus Christ and go out there and tell somebody, man, you don't want to miss the rapture. You don't want to miss the rapture. Noah didn't miss the rapture because he was raptured up by water. Water picked the boat up and he escaped from being drowned. But the people that was on the outside of the ark, they was left. And they tried to get on after. They tried to get on after the door, after the door was shut on the ark and it started raining. They tried to call to Noah. They tried to beat up on side the ark. They tried to hammer them ways in. They tried to plead with Noah. They cried and they begged, but it was too late. And when the rapture comes, the church will be removed from the planet. You hear what I said? The church will be removed from the planet in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Good God Almighty, look at this. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain alive shall be caught up in the cloud by the cross. No cross, no crown. No repentance, no crown. No turning, no crown. You can't get there unless you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. No blood, no life. And you want to know how tough that is? Take the blood out of your body and drain it. Let it be drained out. 1 gallon. You got about 1 gallon of blood in your body. Drain it out of you. And I guarantee you, you will die physically. You will die physically. And if you leave this world without the blood of Jesus Christ in your spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, by his suffering, by his death and resurrection, if you don't know Jesus Christ when you leave this planet, guess what? You're going to lift your eyes up in hell. And you will ask your question, how did I get here? What did I do? It ain't what you did. It's what you didn't do. And what you didn't do, you didn't turn from sin. You weren't repentant of your sin. You weren't sorry toward God and told the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm so sorry for the sins I have done against you. Will you please save my soul right now? And I'm willing enough to turn from my wickedness and from my unbelief and from my traveling ways that I have. I want to live for you. I want to sing for you. I want to preach for you. I want to serve you all the days of my life through the Holy Spirit, not my own power, but your power, because it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts, because God said, I am a spirit, and those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in the flesh. You can't worship God on your own account. You got to have the Spirit of God in you to lead you and guide you to all truth. Noah was delivered from the flood. And then rain came. And when the rapture of the church occurs, then the rain is going to come down on the planet. Rain of judgment. Rain of the seven trumpets, rain of the seven seals, rain of the seven bowls, rain of the claps of thunder. It's going to rain during the time of the tribulation period. The church mission is almost over. The last church in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, says Laodicea. And Laodicea was the world carnal church, the humanist church. They had a form of God, but they didn't have the power of the love of God in their heart. And by not having the power and the love of God in your heart, they tell me you're going to be left here. And when you're left here, you're going to have one opportunity to receive Christ after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, God said, I'm not through with the world yet. I've got something for the Jews to do. But what are the Jews going to do? They are going to have an opportunity for the last 7 years to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that will fulfill the 490 years called the 7 year tribulation or the 7th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. And Daniel the prophet said there's a week missing out of the 483 years. And the 483 years, God said, I'm going to deal with the Jewish people for 483 years from 440 B.C. all the way down to 32 A.D. And 32 A.D. is when Jesus Christ came riding through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. And they were saying, Hosanna, blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they was worshiping him. They was adoring him. But they tell me a week later, they said, crucify him. Kill him. We don't want him. We don't want this dude. We don't want this man. All that he done, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils in his name, spoke 40 parables without a manuscript, walked through the water, raised Lazarus from the dead. Good God Almighty, turn water to wine. Who you think you is? Oh, good God Almighty. No man, no woman ever did anything on earth but Jesus Christ. And they tell me when Jesus did it, he didn't strain at it. He just said it, and it happened. Why? Because he was God Almighty in the flesh. And if he wasn't God, listen, if Jesus Christ was God Almighty in the flesh, you know what I am? I'm the biggest liar. I'm the biggest cheat. I'm the greatest deceiver that you ever will know. And if you want to go back a little farther, if Jesus wasn't if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, he's a liar. And Jesus Christ said, I am the Father one. I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. Whatever works you see me do, it's not I. It's the Father that's in me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no man, no woman, no liar, no cheapskate, no whoremonger, no lesbianism, no homosexual can get to the Father unless you come by me. And if you come by Jesus Christ, you're going to be refined. You're going to be reformed. You're going to be transformed. You're going to be a new creature in Jesus Christ. You'll come from a whoremonger to a preacher. You'll come from a prostitute and become a mother. Good God Almighty. He'll change your life from the inside out. From the inside. You got that? Inside out. Not the outside in. The inside out means that Christ comes in and he drives out that mess that you used to do. You don't be no more. And guess what? You begin to shout about it. I got something to shout about. My soul is saved by the grace of God. And he said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. The end of the world, meaning the end of sin, death, hell, and the grave. I'll go with you beyond eternity. So what we got? We got God will deliver the body of Christ before the tribulation period. The church will never go through the tribulation period. The tribulation period was designed by God for the Jewish people. If it wasn't for the Jews, there wouldn't be no tribulation period. God would just come and judge the world, amen, and put everybody in hell like that. Bam! But God so loved the world, he will go all the way with humanity to convince them that he is the only Savior in the whole round world universe, from the quasars and from Mars, from the eternity. I am the Savior. Ain't nobody else going to deliver you from hell but Jesus Christ. And the cross of Christ was the only way God could redeem that. Wait a minute. Which says the cross of Christ is the only way God could have redeemed man from sin. He's going to bring all nations together because God is saving souls out of every nation on the planet. Whether you're Indian, whether you're Chinese, Japanese, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're ooh-wee, you talking about colorful. Heaven is going to be colorful. All kinds of people. And there won't be no more racial injustice and Black Lives Matter. There ain't going to be no more wars. Ain't going to be no more homosexuals. Ain't going to be no more lesbianism. Ain't going to be no adulterers. Ain't going to be no fornicators. Ain't going to be nothing but holiness. For without, no man shall ever see the Lord. So preachers out there, you need to get your Bible and read it and quit going around here talking about there's a mid-tribulation rapture, and then there's a post-tribulation rapture, and then some going to go and some ain't going. Well, let me tell you, every born-again believer is going to be in heaven. You hear what I say? Because you can't unborn something that's been born. If you've been born physically, you can't unborn yourself. And a spiritual birth is more powerful than a physical birth. And when you're born of God, ain't no demon in hell can unborn you. You're born of God The Bible says whoever's born of God cannot sin. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about your soul can never sin again if you've been born of God. What you talking about? I'm talking about the carnal nature, which your sin is dealing with, because when Christ saves you, he don't save your flesh. Your flesh cannot be saved. Your flesh, amen, got the sinful nature of Adam in you. That's why the Bible says, work out your own soul salvation, fear and trembling before God. He said, lay aside every weight and every sin that's so easy to set up, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. That's why the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll fight against the wiles of the devil. Because the devil's seeking and roaring like a lion, who he made the Bible. You've got to be armored. You've got to be walking in the Spirit. For when you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And a lot of Christians today is fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But don't worry about that, amen, because every born-again believer is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that they've done in his body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And those that did good through Christ, Jesus Christ, did walk in the flesh, is going to receive a crown, either gold, silver, brass, or wood, hay, and stubble. Things you've done in the flesh, in wood, hay, and stubble. Quit going around here talking about I'm saved today, lost tomorrow, saved today, lost tomorrow. I think I don't want to lay down my religion and all that crap. That ain't in the Bible. When you come to Jesus, you make your commitment. He said, I'll keep you from all harm and danger. I'll preserve you. What you talking about? I'm talking about preserve my soul. My soul is preserved. My soul is kept by the power of God. And that motion that you see me doing, you can distinguish it of the flesh or of the spirit. You have to have a discerner of spirit. And people today are trying to put other people in hell by what they say and what they do. But let me tell you, it's your faith in Jesus Christ. And so what? The church will be delivered. If the church is going to be delivered and caught up into glory, who is going to preach the gospel after the rapture? Who's going to preach the gospel? You got 7 years to deal with. The Bible tells you who's going to preach the gospel after the church is gone. Because when the church goes, the church is going at the judgment seat of Christ, Bema seat. Bema seat. The church is. What did you say? The white church? No. Black? No. Puerto Rican? No. Indian? No. The church. Saints of God. From all nations and kindreds and tongues and languages. Going to be in heaven. But anything that's not like God, unregenerated, you haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not going to be there. So God will deliver the church from the seven-year tribulation. The seven-year tribulation is for the Jews to preach the gospel at the end time. We're living in the end time now. We're definitely at the end time. A big celebration will be coming up on May the 14th. Good God Almighty. Woo! Listen at this. This is awesome. Israel will celebrate the 73rd anniversary of her being a nation for 73 years. She came from the mire of rejection and have built that land up, getting ready for the return of the Messiah. And guess what? The world is saying we don't want them to do it, but they got to do it because Jesus Christ is coming back to this planet. He's coming back to earth. Earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and everyone that dwells in. God owns the world and everything that dwells in it. He can come down here anytime he wants to. He rules and super rule. Who is the devil that tell Jesus Christ, you ain't coming down here in Jerusalem? No, I'm going to get rid of Jerusalem. I'm going to get rid of all the history I'm going to now let your people, God, so you are lying, lying, Lucifer. You are a liar. And when Christ removes his body, Israel will take over. Israel will become the most powerful nation for God, the job done. Israel is going to turn the world upside down. Hear what I said? Upside down. They are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. They are going to say that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he died and rose again, and he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. We're going to rule and reign on this earth, and the church will not be on this earth when the Jews are going to preach, because the Jews is consisted of the 7th chapter of Revelation. John said, I saw a number which is 144,000 Jews, male Jews, that will preach during the first part of the tribulation period, which consists of 1,260 days, the Jewish people, 12,000 from each tribe. 12,000 from each tribe are going to start there right in Jerusalem. Right there in Jerusalem, they are going to preach 1,260 days. They are going to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom will be initiated by 144,000, which will be 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, and 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin. They will preach the gospel of the kingdom, and the church will not be able to be on this earth at the same time that the Jews are going to preach. Because the church has had 2,000 years to preach this glorious Messiah, this Holy One, this true living God in the flesh. The church has had its opportunity to preach salvation to the souls of men and let them know ye must be born again. Not again and again and again and again, but be born again of the Spirit of God. They will be in heaven, being rewarded, and the 144,000 will be here on earth, and they will be preaching for 1,260 days, and buddy, it's not far off. We're right on it. Now check this out. 73 years. Ooh. 73 years. Israel has come back in a mighty army. 73 years. There's a 7-year tribulation. If you would take 73 and add 7 on to 73, you got 80 years. 80 years is one generation. And this generation is the last generation. There's no generation coming after this one. 73 years, add 7 on to 73, you get 80. That puts you in 2029. That generation is over. And the last generation will conclude with a 7-year tribulation period. And the Jews will be in control of the 7 years of tribulation. And they will preach the gospel over what? Over tweeters, over Instagram, over YouTube, over Facebook. It will be preached around the world. Listen to me. Around the world. 25,000 miles circumference around the world. Every continent, every island will hear the gospel preached by the Jewish people. Woo! It will be such a powerful revival. My God, souls will be coming in through the Jewish preaching, and they will be marvelous. Men will come to Jesus preaching of the gospel by the Jewish people. It will be such a miraculous power of God. Souls are being redeemed, set on fire for God. And let me tell you, when the Gentiles and the Jews that's left here on this earth, they're going to look at this and they're going to tell me it's going to be such a great revival that one of the elders in Revelation asked the question, and the question was, where did these come from and who are they? Where did they come from? Because when the rapture of the church occurred, there was nobody was acquainted with Jesus Christ until after the 144,000 preached for 3.5 years, and they heard the gospel and they accepted Jesus Christ, and it was a number that no man can number, as many as the sand and sea. And John said, who are these? Whence they come? And he said, these are they that came through great trial and tribulation. These are the tribulation saints that heard the gospel preached by the Jewish 144,000. And when it got through preaching, they tell me there was a host of numbers. And heaven rejoiced to see the ministry of the Jewish people preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they would say, Jesus, the one that we rejected for 2,600 years, he's our Messiah. He's the one that we rejected, but yet still God's mercy, God's love, God's long-suffering, that these people are mine. He said, before I do anything, before I say anything against Jerusalem, I want my tongue to stick to the top of my mouth, because Jerusalem is going to be the focal point of Christ's return. 1,260 days, day and night. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, 1 year. Preach the gospel. The Jews are. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, another year. Preach the gospel. 24/7. Every day. Every hour. January, February, 3rd year. January, February, March, April, May, all the way up to December, there's another year. Then there's a half of your 6 months, they're going to preach it. They're going to preach it. There won't be no church going. Good God Almighty. Because the church will be in heaven. And if you didn't make it, that means that you're here on earth and you're going to hear the gospel like it's supposed to be preached. And it's going to take the Jewish people to do it. Gentiles can't handle this. We had the church age. You see, I'm in the church age, so when Christ come, I'm going to be raptured up in a moment or twinkling eye, because I was born in the church. I didn't join it. I didn't pay my dues. I wasn't initiated. I was born in it. By what? The cross. Oh, that cross, that cross, that cross, that cross. I'm talking about the cross of Christ. And this is what the world have rejected. They ignored the cross. I wish I could take every soul that I know and I don't know and let them see what they've done to Jesus. What they've done to Jesus at the cross. The only best identity And the best way I can explain it to you, and the best way I can expound it to you, and the best way I can describe it to you, is found in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And as I look in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it gives me 12 verses of how it went down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John explained the 53rd chapter. And the 53rd chapter said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, his crucifixion, how it would be revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He came from heaven and came to a dry ground, came up on earth with sin and residue and killing and murdering and rape and homosexuality. He came, and he came up out of a dry ground because there was nothing here on this planet, amen, that could make you rich and wholesome and joyful. And as a root out of a dry ground, he had no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When they took him down to Calvary and they took him through the streets of Jerusalem, they spat upon him and they kicked him and they mutilated him and they whipped him and they took scorpions and whipped him so bad till his back was opened up and you could see the sin ooze on his back. You see the blood streaming down. They beat him on the face and they crucified him. Whoa, yes, they did. Yeah, take a look at it. Take a good run. There you are. Amen. We all done whipped Christ. We all done wrong somewhere in our life, and we still hitting him, and we mutilated him. He didn't do nothing. He just stood there and took all that man had laid down for him. And then listen to what it says. He says, a root out of a dry ground. He had no form of comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, he wasn't beautiful sight when they got through with him and hung him on the cross. We don't want to look at the cross because we see what our sins done to him, and he didn't say a mumbling word. And he said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Listen to what it said. And we hear it as it were our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. We don't even lift up Christ no more. Oh, the world is lifting up everything else. They're lifting up they're lifting up prostitution. They're lifting up politicians. They're lifting up preachers. They're lifting up everything else. But they won't lift up Jesus Christ. And the reason why, because Jesus done something that no other man did. He took my place and your place on Calvary. When you look at the cross, you ought to see yourself up there hanging and see if you can hang like that. No, you couldn't hang like that. Yeah, you can't even hang with accepting him now. You can't even hang without repenting. You can't even tell the Lord, I'm sorry for my sin that I've done against you, and I want you to save my soul from sin. Lord, have mercy. Listen to what he said. Surely he had bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Listen, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. His stripes. He took his stripes for ours. He took our stripes, but it was his because he said, I'm willing to pay for it. He paid for it. Beat him. Spit on him. Kick him. Call him names. Call him everything but the Son of God. This is what he said. He says, it was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He healed our soul. My God, heal my soul. My soul is a mess. My soul is don't even know where I'm gonna die or where I'm going. My soul is in a mess because sin can make you a mess. But by him, by his stripes, we can be healed. We can be healed from hatred. We can be healed from lying. We can be healed from all the adversities that Satan can bring upon you. We can be healed. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us went astray. We all went off on the deep end. And we have turned everyone to his own way. We're trying to do our own thing. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. All our iniquities were laid on him. And you going around here talking about you going to heaven without accepting what Jesus Christ done. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughterhouse and as a sheep before his shears. It's dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Jesus Christ, God's Son, hung on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He said seven quotations on the cross. The last one was said, it is finished. It's done. Salvation is brought forth. Delivered from hell is brought forth. Delivered from sin, death, hell, and the grave is brought forth. Only thing you've got to do is accept him and turn from your own self. Turn from your wickedness. When Christ unpaid it for it full, you can't add nothing to it. You can't take nothing out of it. Why? Because Jesus did it all for the whole world so that we could live with him out through eternity. We can live and live and never die again. Not to worry about the troubles and situations and problems that you're having in this life. We're going to live with God. We're going to see God. We're going to talk with God. We're going to see his son Jesus Christ. We're going to see eternity just like it is forever. He ain't opened his mouth. He was taken from prison and from the judgment. Who had declared his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. They killed him. For what? For the transgression of my people. Isaiah, for the transgression of the Jewish people. God, through his son, was cut off from the land of the living. And the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, went down in the grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nonviolent. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put on him to grief when he had made his soul, he made his soul an offering for what? Sin. Unbelief. Some people say good person goes to heaven and a bad person go to hell. Not so. Only a saved person can go to heaven. Because let me tell you, I don't care how so holy and sanctified you can be. That flesh can never be pleasing to God. Never. But you got to walk in the spirit so you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. He shall see his seed. He shall see his offspring. He shall see his new born again believers, babes in Christ. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Look over here. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Ooh, my God, my God. My soul is delivered from sin by the sacrificial death of Christ. I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. It's all in Christ. It's all in his suffering. It's all in his love, that he loved me so much that I won't have to spend eternity in a devil's hell because I refuse to accept the sacrifice that he made for me and for you. You might be on the verge of suicide, or you might feel like you ain't worth nothing. You might feel like God don't love you. You might feel like, oh, what's the use of doing that? Well, let me tell you, fall down on your knees and repent and say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. Make me. Now, I can help myself a little bit, but I want you to make me what you want me to be. I want to become a son of God. I want to be God's son. I want God to be my everlasting father. I want God to be God in my life. I want to love everybody. I want God to use me that I can win others, that I can be inspiration to others, that I can love others. Because let me tell you, honey, you don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss heaven. But I tell you one thing, you might not think you want to miss heaven, but I tell you, if you go to hell, you want to miss heaven. But if you go to heaven, you ain't going to miss hell. No. But those that miss heaven going to wish that they never was born. You cannot blame God for nothing if you miss heaven, because God did it all, A-L-L. Keep on yanking them L's out. All of it. You can't add nothing to salvation, and you can't take nothing from salvation. Salvation is free if you want it. If you want the wine, women, song, and partying, if you want the drugs and alcohol, if you want the homosexual, if you want the lying and cheating, if you want that, and you don't want to turn from that, and you don't want to repent because you have sin against a holy God, and the holy God cannot come in the presence of sin and dwell with sin, and you refuse his sacrifice to cleanse you from sin, then you got to pay for your own sins, as I said before. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the song, because he has poured out his soul. Christ poured out his soul. And unto death, his blood was shed on Calvary's cross until every drop that flowed through his veins, he emptied it. He died of a collapsed heart. His heart didn't have no more blood to beat, and it collapsed. And the soul could not dwell in the body without blood. Dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost and went down in the bowels of hell. And preach to those in prison. Stayed there. Not in a hurry. But he stayed there 3 days and 3 nights for pitiful little old insignificant George E. Bizarre. Save my soul from sin forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to worry about dying. Because God has already prepared a place for you If you saved, you know, pray for me. If I'm saved, I know I'm saved. I'm saved. He saved my soul, and he can save yours. He poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He was not too good, but he was better than us. But he wasn't no high, almighty God. Ain't got his chest all stuck out. I'm better than the sinner. Christ never, never, never lifted himself up above the human race. He became a servant that we could be saved through him. He humbled himself at the cross. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercessions for the transgressor. I want some evidence of what he done here in 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I want some proof. Well, I got to go over and cross over from B.C. to A.D. And when A.D. came over, they tell me Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John came on the scene. And the same man that was hung on Calvary's cross, he chose 12 disciples, and he taught them for 3.5 years. And he said, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. And when he went to Jerusalem, he didn't go there just to look around. He went there because he had to suffer for many things. And that thing was he had to suffer for mankind. Yeah. And he suffered because Matthew said he suffered. He suffered because Mark said he suffered. Yeah. And then John said he suffered. And then Luke said he suffered. And by his suffering, man's sin was paid for. Yeah. Good God Almighty. And men today believe that they could go to heaven of their own works. Some said, I'm trying to get to heaven, but I don't know how to get there. Well, if you don't know how to get there, you better find out. And read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and then read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and see what Jesus done. He done the impossible to man, but he done the possible before God. There's nothing impossible. And what God did, I can't find nobody else that did a duplicate. Yeah. Nobody else could do what Jesus done. And one thing I know they can't do. No man has ever been nailed to a cross and then spoke from the cross. No man ever been whooped so bad as Jesus did and came down off the cross at his death. They took him down, and laid him in the grave. And he told them before he died, 3 days, I'm going to lift up this temple, and I'm going to come up out of the grave. 3 days and 3 nights, he did just that. And when he got through on the third day morning, he got up. With all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And I want to tell my friends out there, those that believe that you can go to some religions and go to some occults and find out how can I get to heaven. That's like, where we're trying to go. We're trying to go to heaven. People say, well, don't worry about, don't be so heavenly that you can't live on the earth. Yes, I'm living on the earth, but let me tell you, I ain't missing nobody. I'm not missing the heaven that God got prepared for those that love him. But there's other religions, amen, claiming that they know the truth. But let me tell you, I got a couple of names down here I want to put out on you. Jehovah's Witness. Yeah, they try to say that you can get to heaven without blood. And they don't believe in blood. They don't believe, especially in the blood of Christ. They believe that he was just a man and one of God's creation. But Jesus Christ wasn't one of God's creation. Jesus Christ is God, was God, and will be God. He's all God by himself. So Jehovah's Witness says, if I knock on doors and tell people about the millennium reign and all this stuff, all the good stuff, Amen. But don't say nothing about the crucifixion and that Jesus Christ is not God Almighty in the flesh. Well, that's no good. That's bad news. We got humanism, no blood. We got Jehovah's Witness, no blood. We got the occults, no blood. We got the evolution says that there's a Big Bang Theory, no blood. We got witchcraft. Voodoo, no blood. We got atheism that don't believe in God. Well, the Bible says you're a fool already. And we got Buddhism, I ain't seen him hang yet. And Taoism, I ain't seen him hang. And Islam, I can't find nobody that hung on Calvary. I see circleism with God Almighty, nobody there. Circleism. Then I see Judaism, which is the closest one that had blood. But the Lord said, flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of God, neither is satisfaction for bulls and goats and turtle doves to redeem man. And Judaism is no longer in power now because Christ eliminated Judaism because we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace and truth. Yeah. So Judaism is not the way to heaven. And we got paganism. Paganism is false gods. And we got agnosticism, men who believe there's a God, but they won't prove. Well, I don't have to go to no proof. I know there's a God. And I know that Jesus died and rose again. I know that with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. We got Hinduism and no blood. We got spiritualism, no blood. We got Bahá'í, no blood. We got Schism, no blood. We got Scientologists, no blood. We got Deists, no blood. We got Voodoo and Hoodoo, no blood. We got Satanism, no blood. The only God that they use is sacrifice to idols and believe been drinking blood and killing young babies and offering to Baal and Dagon, but that blood is no good. We got circleism, no good. We got Mormonism, no good. We got denominations that believe in the blood of Christ, but not all of them. We got people in church that's been in church for years, but they don't have no power in the blood because they don't even sing blood song no more. They don't sing blood songs no more. They don't sing Jesus keep me near the cross no more. They don't sing down at the cross. They don't sing old rugged cross. They don't sing them songs no more. They got all this here rap, dap, bip, after dap. It don't hit on nothing. They don't take the hymns and try to degrade them, but you can't destroy a hymn. Hymns are written by people who were spirit filled. To have experience with Christ. Not this is jigaboo stuff that's going on around now. That stuff ain't hitting on nothing. I need something with a hard experience with a loving Christ that saved my soul from hell. H-E-L-L. And there is a place. There is a place for the wicked and the unbelieving. And the Bible says, I'll give you a sample of what the Bible says about who goes to hell. Who is going to hell? People say, well, I'm good. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I don't do none of those things. I can go to heaven. No, you can't. You ain't going nowhere, buddy, not in this book. Not in this book, it says here. I'm going to tell you what this book says. This book says here, right here. Ooh. In this book, 21st chapter. 21st chapter. The seventh verse, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the scaredy cats, the cowards, those that are fearful in this last and evil day. They're unbelieving, those that don't believe in nothing. Especially those that don't believe in Christ that suffered on Calvary. They don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. They don't believe in the blood of Christ. He actually shed his blood, which was God's blood. And God's blood is holy, 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 holy. And the only thing that can wash you clean, sanctify your soul in and out, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, the unbelieving, the abominable. The abominable means that those that do hard, low-down, dirty things. Abomination is a man going with a man. Woman going with a woman. That's abomination. Those that speak against Christ, abomination. Those that blaspheme Christ. Those that use his name in vain and slander his name and curse at God and get mad at God and say all kind of evil things against God is abomination. And he says, and murderers, all the murderers, those that hate their brother, those that are willing to kill and murder people. And whoremongers, all the women, all the men that chase the skirts and use women as a pin cushion and use little girls and raping and all that stuff, all that whoremongers and sorcerers, all the drug addicts. I don't know all the drugs, but I'm telling you, there's all kind of drugs out there. People using drugs and going crazy in their mind, overdose. All the idolaters, all those that worship everything but God. And the only way you can worship God is in the spirit. And if you worshiping idols and worshiping men and worshiping yourself and worshiping your car, worshiping your golf club, worshiping your recreation, worshiping you, just honor that. Let me tell you, all the idolaters and all liars, whoever denied that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he didn't come in the flesh is a liar. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My friends, this is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you and letting you know you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As I go out with this song, I want you to pay close attention to this song.
Stood at home, rugged cross.
Oh, rugged cross. Going out with this. Listen to this song. The emblem of suffering and shame.
Of suffering.
Woo.
And
Frank Williams.
Oh,
yes.
For a word,
yes,
of a lost sinner,
yes,
was slain. So I said,
yes,
there is the old, rugged cross.
Oh,